Morning, everyone. I think there was a lot of God's move in the selection of songs today and the scripture. A hopeful Sunday. Today we start a new series of sermon topics, and this is based on the New Testament book of 1 Peter. We'll just have a short word of prayer before we carry on. Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you and ask for your open hearts and listening ears to understand your word to us today from the first 12 verses of 1 Peter chapter 1. Help us know you and be assured of your covenantal love to us as we live in this world with trials and persecutions, with a heavenly and eternal perspective. Thank you for your Spirit's guidance in this passage today. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. This is the overview of the sermon today. A lot of things to consider, but we'll go through it bit by bit, and I'd like all of us to just enjoy God's word. Ask him to speak to us. Peter, the Apostle Peter, he wrote this letter from Rome around AD 64, shortly before Emperor Nero started persecution of the Christians, written to the elect pilgrims of the diaspora. Diaspora is a very unique word. This is the locations here: Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. It's a map here. The five provinces of the Roman Empire. It's written to elect pilgrims of the diaspora. And this diaspora is actually scattered. It has a special meaning to the Jewish Christians then. Referred to Jews who were separated from their homeland, Israel. The Jews were scattered since the fall of the northern kingdom by the Assyrians and the southern kingdom by the Babylonians to many nations around. So even on the day of Pentecost, if you look, if you remember from Acts 2, and when the Holy Spirit was poured out, there were Jews from every nation in Jerusalem, including from Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. This word pilgrim, parapidemos, it's actually implies two things: foreign national, not a citizen of the land, and it's also temporary residence, just sojourners in the foreign land. You can imagine a person without a citizenship, not the of the land. He's just coming to travel, but he's staying there for a short while. The purpose of Peter's letter was to encourage and comfort his readers to live as ambassadors for Christ in a hostile foreign land, anticipating persecution would arise. Peter himself was martyred in AD 67, about 3 years after his writing of the two letters. The first letter of Peter focuses on living with hope and joy and holiness in the midst of persecution. Peter's second letter focused on the dangers of false teaching from within the church. Both letters encourage readers to look forward and prepare for the second coming of the Lord. Peter introduces himself as an apostle, and Peter calls the pilgrims elect or chosen by the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit. The pilgrim elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, God chose them. And God, in his own foreknowledge, he chose them from before the foundation of the world. Those elect of God, born again of the Spirit, have a citizenship in heaven, not on earth. As citizens of heaven, we live as aliens, pilgrims, and sojourners in the world. So God's elect are citizens of heaven and pilgrims in this world. This word in sanctification of the Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, purifies the elect from sin and sets them apart for service for God. God chose them for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and believe in the truth from 2 Thessalonians 2:13. And God purifies believers from a guilty conscience by anointing of the atoning blood of Jesus Christ for obedience to Christ. Next, we come to the verse 3 to 5 of this passage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, for to an inheritance incomparable, incorruptible, and undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, to be revealed in the last days, last time. Peter praises and blesses God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who in his abundant mercy has begotten us again, or caused to be born again to a living hope, to an inheritance reserved in heaven. What is this living hope? The living hope is the hope of an inheritance reserved in heaven for all who are born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When will this living hope be realized? It will be realized and ready to be revealed in the last time at the glorious appearing of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, our blessed hope. So we look forward to that blessed hope and glorious appearing, as we read in Titus 2:13. Peter describes the future inheritance permanence in three words. It is incorruptible, the Greek aptatos, undecaying, imperishable. It is also undefiled, amiantos, unsoiled and unspoiled. It is also does not fade away, amarantos, unfading, perpetual, perennial. It's quite amazing. God, in his own wisdom and in his own counsel, he gives an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away. We can imagine in our own lives a lot of things that are, we think there's of value, much, much valuable, but they, through time, will also decay and will be defiled. It's not permanent. This side of eternity, this is what we experience. God's view of eternity, he has given us an inheritance that is this type of characteristic. What is this inheritance that God's children inherit? As God's children, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And we will inherit the kingdom prepared for us by God and the Father before the foundation of the world. However, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. When Christ is revealed in the last time, at the sound of the last trumpet, the dead in Christ will rise first. And they will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So we have this living hope of inheriting eternal life and a glorious incorruptible body when Christ appears. When our loved ones fall asleep or die in Christ, we do not sorrow like others who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again so that God will bring them, those who sleep in Jesus. If the dead do not rise, we will be like those who do not have any hope, like the people who just say, today, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. There's another word that we like to consider, this incorruptible word of God. And we have been born again to a living hope, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. We have a living hope, a future inheritance realized at the appearing of Christ in the last time. How does this living hope impact our living in the present? Well, hope is in the future, faith is in the present. So how does this living hope impact our living in the present? Let's look at Peter's verses to the Peter's words to the people in who are suffering at the present time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, though much, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The future living hope results in present joy. Those whose faith is proven genuine, truly born again, will receive the inheritance of heaven, the end or outcome of their faith, salvation of their souls. Jesus Christ will come to receive those with genuine faith, his bride, the glorious church. So tribulations and persecutions can cause one to who receives God's word with joy, but having no roots in himself, to stumble. We refer to the passage in Matthew and Jesus' words to the people then. Some fell on stony places, and they did not have much root, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sunrise was up and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. This reminds us that we need to check how deep is our faith. They only endure for a while, and after tribulation and persecution arise, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. We want to continue to ask God to check ourselves. What is our persecution capacity? Only by God's grace, he knows. And we want to continue to trust him and hold tight to him. So when persecution comes, only those whose faith is genuine would continue to follow in the steps of the Lord. And they pray that God will strengthen them with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in his love, rooted and built up in Christ, and experience God's grace to endure persecution and trials. And as they abide in Christ, it's a long-term abiding and relationship. They will bear fruit that remain and experience answered prayer. They abide in his love and joy. Persecution or trials can cause bitterness. Initially, when Job lost all his children, health, and wealth, he lamented that he would complain in the bitterness of his soul. From Job 7:11, we should not allow the root of bitterness to spring up in our lives when we fall or fail to obtain grace, God's grace. Roots of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Job did not continue in bitterness, but persevered to the end intended by the Lord. Job had a living word, and that God, his Redeemer, lives. In the jubilance of his faith, Job declared that after his skin is destroyed, in his flesh he shall see God. So these are verses that we want to continue to remember and reflect on, that God is still for us. God wants us to come to him and inherit the inheritance. But we need to persevere. We read it this morning that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, God's love, he is the one who initiates and motivates and fills us, has been poured out into our lives by the Holy Spirit, given to us. Whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. How do we experience this joy inexpressible and full of glory in the midst of trials and persecutions? It is the love of God poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that enables us to experience the reality of God's love. It's the love of God poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus' words. Those who rejoice is through trials and tribulation. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Just reminded of what we saw just now. Persecuted church and the women folk who were persecuted. And we just cannot plumb the depth of their own misery. We can just see, but we pray. We want to continue to pray for these, for God to bring them solace, relief, and new hope of what it means through the suffering, hope in the Lord Jesus, the hope of an incorruptible body, eternal life, and in heaven with God. So the living hope of great reward in heaven inspires us to rejoice when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. There's lots of things we can reflect upon as we go through this season of life. I don't want to describe what type of persecution, trials, and we have it in various forms. You know it, you read it, you can experience it, but the living hope, there is a living hope, a lively hope of great reward in heaven, inspiring us today to rejoice when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Pause at this point and just think about the persecuted people in Myanmar. If you have this flyer, it's just outside. You can just take a copy. CNBC notes Myanmar country falling apart. In my office, there are Myanmese. They actually work from Thailand. We do work online. And recently, two of them came to Singapore to have some physical engagement. They were from Myanmar. They fled the persecution during that time. I had an opportunity to meet up with them physically and over lunch, shared the gospel with one of them, and he came to know the Lord and received the Lord Jesus. So there was persecution, real, and present danger. And then he came to Thailand to work, and from Thailand we communicated online. And then he came to Singapore for a short while. I actually had opportunity to share that I'm a Christian online. Then he came to Singapore and we met. So just seeing the good out of the bad, the light out of the darkness, and we want to continue to be sensitive to God's Spirit leading, how to bring another person who is suffering, real suffering, and how to relieve, how to walk alongside, and how to bring them to and point them to the Lord Jesus, who suffered for the sins of the world. We read this just now. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It is a work of God. It is a deposit of the promises of God in our hearts. And as we read God's word, as we fellowship around God's word, we want to ask Him to remind us, keep our hope alive, keep our spirits alive, and rejoice. It is not the thing that will just disappoint us. It's a continuing faith and hope. The last part of this passage, Peter was telling the pilgrims. You can imagine it was like the first three, verse 3 to 5 is the future. There's going to be incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away. That type of inheritance in the future. Then 6 to 9, the present trials and persecutions. And 10 to 11, or 10 to 12, we have the past. Peter shares what God is working in the past. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that will come to you. Searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have been preached, who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. The living hope of the new birth springs not only from believers' future inheritance and present experience, but also from their faith in God's written word in the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophets prophesied of this great salvation that was to come, inquiring and searching diligently what kind of Messiah and what time, when would he come. The Spirit of Christ was in those Old Testament prophets, indicating beforehand the sufferings of Christ. And remember Isaiah 53, and the glories that will come, as indicated in Isaiah 11. The suffering of Christ refers to his sacrifice on the cross for the sake of humanity, while his glory pertains to the resurrection, ascension, and eventual return to set up his kingdom in triumph. The Old Testament prophets understood that they were not writing for themselves, but for those who would come later, those who would hear the gospel proclaimed by the Holy Spirit and consequently follow Christ. These are things that even angels long to look into. It tells us that this is a very special message and inheritance. It is a reserved for born-again believers, human beings. It is for our present and future generations. And we are privileged to share and receive this inheritance by receiving the Lord Jesus into our lives. We have in this morning service sang hymns of praise, hope, and faith and love to the Lord Jesus. And we want to look forward to that day. We want to prepare ourselves for his return. So keep close to the Lord. Keep close to God's word. Yep. So these are what I've just shared just now. So the conclusion, God's elect are citizens of heaven and pilgrims of this in this world. The living hope of great reward in heaven inspires us to rejoice when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Paul's encouragement to the Christian readers is one of perseverance in faith. Believers are to be rooted in God's word and depend on the Holy Spirit amidst trials and persecutions. Pray for fellow believers who are suffering in other parts of the world, as we will continue to remember this leading up to the prayer for the persecuted church. And we continue to prepare ourselves for the time when he's coming back. The Lord Jesus is returning. So each of us, we can also whisper and tell each other, Lord's return is imminent. Keep close to him. Watch for his return. Grow deep in God's word. Continue to encourage one another with these words that he is returning. The Lord is coming back. There's lots more to think about in this deliberation, but the next few weeks we'll talk and we'll discuss and we'll share the following chapters of 1 Peter. Lots of precious promises, precious living word and cornerstone and other words of precious. But continue to hold on to him, dear brothers and sisters. Continue to keep growing, keep fruitful, keep rooted. I'd like for us to just end with a song. And this is the word cornerstone. And it reminds us that there is the Lord Jesus. He is the one who begins, continues, and culminates, fulfills all about God's promises. Let's listen to this, and then we close in prayer.
My anchor holds within the veil. Oh.
Okay, we can close there. Yeah, thanks. Let us close in prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, you've spoken through Peter these words to the believers scattered and suffered for their faith. You have chosen them, cleansed and kept them. You granted them a living hope to strengthen them through the grievous trials they face. They did not see you yet loved. They did not see you then yet believed and rejoiced through the suffering. They persevered and reached the goal of their faith, the salvation of their souls. Heavenly Father, for us today, help us to see the resurrected Christ in heaven interceding for us. In these days of trouble, trials, persecutions, cause us to remember you. Keep our hearts trusting you, our minds sober, our hope fully assured and fixed on the grace to be revealed at the return of the Lord Jesus. May you, the God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of all grace, who called us to your eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after we have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To you, Lord, be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Blessed new day and new week for you.